Hello, and welcome to How to Make a Podcast with me, Anna Pajaisky. Introduction. Definition. A podcast is an episodic series of spoken word audio files that a user can download to a personal device for easy listening. Most podcasts are free to access and are funded by advertising, sponsorship, or the sales of merchandise or spin-off products. They can be fiction or non-fiction, scripted or non-scripted, and on virtually any topic you can think of. There are more than 500,000 active podcasts on Apple Podcasts in over 100 languages. This guide is intended for university members of staff, researchers, technicians, support staff, and students. In it, I'll be taking you through how to produce your own podcast to inspire, entertain, and disseminate your work at the University of Warwick. By the end, you'll have all the skills, tools, and information you need to get started and to keep going. Part 1. Planning. Why start a podcast? Podcasts can be a fantastic way of disseminating your research, and there are lots of reasons to start one. To grow your audience. It's estimated that there were around 15.6 million listeners to podcasts in the UK in 2020. To widen your reach. Podcasting is an accessible medium for the listener and can allow you to access otherwise difficult to reach audiences. To widen your network. Asking if you can interview someone you admire on your podcast can be a great in to talk to the people you've always wanted to. To raise your profile in your industry and give yourself authority. To gain experience and skills with audio production and the media. It's got a relatively low barrier to entry in terms of money and equipment. And it can also allow you to achieve certain aims. I'll be talking about that a bit later. But be warned, there are plenty of reasons not to start a podcast, including it takes a lot of time and effort. Each episode can be hours in the planning, recording, editing, and promoting. It costs money. Audio hardware, software, and podcast hosting sites can set you back a couple of £100s in your first season. The vast majority of podcasts are loss leaders for their presenters and producers. There might be better media out there to achieve your aims. Does your idea for a podcast really need to be communicated in a series, or would it be better as a one-off audio piece? Could it be improved by visuals such as a YouTube video? Or should it really be a written article in a newspaper, blog, or magazine? Does podcasting give you as much audience engagement as you need to achieve your aims? It is possible to do audience interaction with podcasts, but there might be better ways for you to engage. If you're absolutely certain that a podcast is the right medium for you, then listen on. Generating your idea. First, get to know your medium. Listen to as many podcasts as you can. Here are some great examples of podcasts produced by academics and researchers. Why aren't you a doctor yet? This is a podcast where science and tech journalism meets millennial pop culture. They say, from skin bleaching and genetic testing to facial recognition and data mining, this is the podcast that surgically dissects and disassembles the latest news and drops it directly into your ears. There's also Scientists Not the Science, a podcast about the culture of being a scientist. Dr. Stuart Higgins talks to scientists, science communicators, journalists, and comedians to find out what it means to be a scientist. There's also Back Garden Biology. In this fun and informative series, Dr. Lindsay Turnbull from the University of Oxford looks at the biology of the back garden. The series is for children missing school who would like to carry on practical work in their own garden and have an expert help them to understand the theory behind everyday biology. The key with all these podcasts is engagement. As with all engagement activities, it's important to ask yourself two key questions. First, what are my aims? And secondly, who is my audience? So, what are your aims? These might be to promote your work, debunk misinformation about your field, as an information source, to promote the university, to attract prospective students to apply there, to profile inspirational staff, and or to simply entertain. Whatever it is, be specific. How can you measure that you've achieved these aims? Most podcast hosting sites will provide statistics such as number of downloads and breakdowns of the listener's geographical location, gender, and age bracket. But how will you measure that you've persuaded your audience to apply to university? That you actually entertained them? That you changed their minds on something? That requires them to tell you in two-way engagement. For true public engagement and to be able to measure your aims, the podcast has to work both ways. There needs to be meaningful information flow from you to your audience, but also from your audience to you. So, how will you create engagement? You could include a segment at the beginning and end of each podcast episode for the audience to ask questions and provide correspondence. You could create dedicated social media and email accounts for the podcast and actively engage in online conversations with the audience. Or you could put on live events, either in person or live streamed on social media, with elements of audience interaction such as Q&As. So what about that second question then? Who are your audience? Firstly, there is no such thing as the general public. The general public are a disparate and diverse group of the full cross-section of society. Aiming too wide dilutes your message and means you'll be less likely to create something that will engage with your audience. Instead, you need to be as specific as possible about the sort of person you want to listen to your podcast. Conjure them in your mind's eye and think about how your podcast caters to them. Descriptors could include age, ethnicity, gender, geographical location, level of expertise on the podcast's topic, occupation, sexuality, and socioeconomic status. Once you've got your idea, check that it doesn't already exist as a podcast by searching the most popular apps: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, and Pocket Casts. If it does, consider changing the scope or the audience. For more training and support with developing public engagement ideas, contact the Warwick Institute of Engagement. Decide the details. Next, you'll need to decide on the details of your podcast. What's your podcast's name? Make it short, catchy, original, on-brand, and preferably descriptive of the podcast contents. What's the style of your episodes? Will they be monologues, interviews, chat shows, or recorded live shows? Will it be scripted or unscripted? Is it fictional drama or non-fiction documentary? Will you have one host or multiple? One host can be logistically easier to edit and arrange recordings, though more than one host can bring audio interest and higher energy. How many episodes are you planning? Will this be season one of many? Plan out the contents of at least your first five episodes before you begin. Think about what's the right duration for your episodes. This can range from 2 minutes to 2 hours, depending on your aims and audience. Are they more likely to be listening on a 25-minute commute or on a five-hour-long dog walk? Do they have a short attention span? Is your content a long-form conversation or a snappy news bulletin? How about your regular release schedule? Weekly, fortnightly, monthly? It's always best to release regularly to appease the podcast chart algorithms, as opposed to releasing them randomly whenever you get around to editing the next episode. Decide which day of the week your audience will prefer. Mondays are usually good for factual podcasts aimed at commuters, and Fridays are usually good for fun comedy podcasts that your listeners are going to hear when they're cleaning the oven at the weekend. Choose a manageable schedule and stick to it so that your audience know when to expect the next episode. Setting it up. Once you've ironed out your idea, you'll need a few other things before you start recording. Firstly, artwork. This is hugely important. It needs to show the title clearly. It needs to be on brand, be bright, be eye-catching, with large, stylistic, and easy-to-read fonts, without too much fine detail. And they also need to appeal to the podcast's target audience. Have a browse of your favourite podcasts and notice their choice of colour palette, visual style, font, and detailing. Here are some you might want to have a look at and see why they work. The You're Dead to Me podcast. Here they've got font and cartoons which visually illustrate the historical content. Their cartoon people imply that it's a light-hearted and comedic style of podcast, and they've also got the BBC Radio 4 logo in the corner. Out with Susie Ruffle. There's a photo of her, the host, which indicates a serious interview-style show. The out is put in rainbow font, which implies LGBTQ+ content. The photographed and named host implies that it's a host-led show. Fortunately, This logo has a photo of the host wearing smart clothes in a casual pose, which indicates this is a dual-hosted comedy chat show by off-duty radio professionals. They've used only their first names, it's fortunately with Fee and Jane, which implies an informal tone. They've used a cool colour palette, which lends a feeling of trustworthiness. And finally, my own podcast logo, Handmade. It's got a scruffy background with pencil drawings and enamel letters for the title, which implies content about craft and making. The scientific diagrams behind the title indicates scientific content, and the named host indicates an interview format. Here are some general rules for podcast artwork. It's got to be square in its aspect ratio. It must be exported as a high-resolution picture file, ideally 3000 by 3000 pixels. It's got to be JPEG or PNG file type. The simplest way to create artwork for yourself is on Microsoft PowerPoint. You can change the slide aspect ratio to a square with Design, Slide Size, Custom. When you're done, export the slide as a JPEG or PNG. Alternatively, if you have a budget and means, you can pay a professional graphic designer or artist to create your artwork for you. Find one in your personal or professional network or through a freelancer search engine website such as Fiverr. Social media and contact. In order to engage with your audience, they're going to need to get in touch with you. Create dedicated social media accounts for your podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or at least those sites that you frequently use yourself. Create a dedicated podcast email address for correspondence as well. Some tips. Try and register the same handle across all of them to help your listeners find you easily. Remember, you're going to tell people what your handle is out loud on the podcast, so avoid long ones or ones that are difficult to spell. Make a dedicated website for your podcast too. Here you can embed the audio files, upload supplementary visual and written content, and host episode transcriptions for widening accessibility. Sounds and music. All podcasts need good introduction music, or at least a catchy jingle. For this, it's really important that you use Creative Commons, royalty-free, or public domain licensed music. It's illegal to use copyrighted music on your podcast. Ideally, you would create the music yourself or commission a friend or professional to do it for you. Then it's truly and originally yours. To find someone, tap into your personal and professional networks or commission a freelancer from a directory such as Fiverr. If you don't have the means to commission someone, there are paid for and free of charge royalty-free music and sound effects libraries online. These are, for example, Pixabay, YouTube Audio Library, and the Free Music Archive. The BBC also has a library of its sound effects, but be sure to check their licensing carefully before use. Actually, with any audio content you use, always check the licenses and usage. Finding and booking guests. If you're producing an interview-style podcast, you can find guests in the following places. Through your existing contacts, through contacting professional organisations, putting call-outs on social media. Twitter is particularly good for this. Search, for example, Material Scientist on Twitter or use Twitter Lists. Just Google for people who align with your podcast. Look at new releases or coming soon books on Amazon that align with your podcast and contact the authors to see if they want free publicity. Tap into online communities and forums that align with your podcast. Ask previous guests if they can recommend anyone in their networks. You can use a free online matchmaking service like Matchmaker. Or once you get your podcast up and running, ask your audience for guest suggestions or ask them to get in touch directly if they think they could be a good guest themselves. Once you've found your guest, get in touch with them with a quick email. Here's an example. Dear guest, I'm writing to invite you to be interviewed on my podcast. Name. A bit more about the pod. It's called Podcast Name, and it's about podcast topic. Each episode, I interview a particular type of guest about a particular type of topic. For example, in previous episodes, some examples of the old episodes. You can listen to past episodes here, link to the podcast feed. A bit of a background on me. I'm short bio. Bit of information about how the podcast came about. Here's my website for more information. Link to my personal website. I'd absolutely love to chat to you on the podcast about a particular topic, such as potential areas of discussion. The style is podcast style, informal, conversational, etc. And I can supply some questions in advance if that aids your preparation. We'd be recording online / in person via the name of the platform or the location. And it usually takes about recording duration. Do let me know some convenient times for you in the upcoming weeks and we'll set this up. Best wishes, and then your name. Part 2, doing. Recording, hardware. Hardware is the largest upfront cost of podcasting, but it's an important investment to get you sounding your best for your listeners. The main difference in equipment needs are if you're going to be recording solo or with multiple guests. For solo recording, I recommend setting yourself up with a USB microphone which you can plug straight into your laptop and off you go. The Rode Podcaster is a great one. If you want to shop around, your search term is USB dynamic microphone. For any microphone you get, you'll want to get a foam cover to cushion plosive sounds, which are the bang sounds in the recording when strong air from your lips hit the microphone, particularly with P and B sounds. Let me take my foam cover off here. P and B. See? And you'll also need a stand for hands-free recording. Multiple speaker recordings. For recording with multiple microphones, you'll need to plug these into a mixer first, then connect the mixer to your computer. The Rode Procaster is a great microphone, and you'll need as many XLR leads as you have microphones, as well as, of course, foam cushions and table stands. If you want to shop around, your search term is XLR dynamic microphone. The best mixer for podcasting is the Zoom H6 audio recorder. It can do ambient recording and it also has up to 4 inputs for microphones. It can be battery powered, so you can take it out to record in the field. If you want to shop around, your search term is multi-channel USB mixer. Setting up the room. Before you start recording, make sure you minimize the noise in the room, unless you're purposefully including background noise in the recording, such as a busy street or audience chatter. Some things to check for. Windows and doors closed. All devices on silent. Noisy appliances switched off. Hard surfaces dampened. Sit far away from flat walls or corners of rooms if possible and place a towel or cloth across your table. Noisy zips, jewellery or rustly clothing removed. Sit with your microphone about a fist width away from your face and be aware that any movement away from it will be heard in the recording, a bit like this. If I keep speaking and move away from the microphone, you won't be able to hear my voice as well. If you're speaking to one or more guests in the same room, then position yourself so that you'll be talking across your microphones, not turning your heads to look at one another. Recording software. Once you've got your microphones and or mixer plugged in, you'll need software to record what people say. The best free audio software to start with is Audacity. It's relatively intuitive to pick up, and there's lots of support for specific problems online. If you want to move to the next level of audio recording and editing, I recommend Adobe Audition. This is available as part of the Adobe Creative Cloud package, which staff can request through IT services for an annual cost, and students can access at a discounted rate. Recording online. For the best sound quality when recording with someone over video conferencing software, ask them to follow the same setting up the room instructions as above. Ideally, when recording over video conferencing software, your guests or co-hosts at the other end will record their side of the conversation locally on a lovely microphone setup and send it to you post-recording for editing. This will allow for higher quality audio. Unfortunately, lots of guests don't have the means to do this, but you can use your video conferencing software to record it for you. Ask them to use a microphone attached to headphones if possible, rather than their inbuilt computer audio hardware. Zoom. The next best thing is using Zoom's record function because it allows you to get separate audio files for each participant. Download Zoom, open it, and go to, if you're on a Mac, zoom.us, preferences, recording, and tick record a separate audio file for each participant. On Windows, click the settings cog on the home screen, go to Recording and tick Record a separate audio file for each participant. When the meeting starts, click Record at the bottom of the screen. For better quality audio, disable the participants' video feeds and click Turn on Original Sound in the top left-hand corner. That disables Zoom's echo cancellation and audio enhancing features. Microsoft Teams. When the meeting starts, click More Actions and Start Recording. At the end of the meeting, the recording will be available as a video in the chat tab. You'll have to download and convert it to an audio file before editing. This audio file won't differentiate between voices on the call, so you won't be able to edit voices separately. Record smart. Experience has taught me that recording smart can drastically reduce editing time later. My top tips for recording smart are: leave a couple of seconds silence between segments or questions in case you want to change the order later. If you stumble on words or want to re-record a bit, you can click your fingers near the microphone, like this. This will look like a sharp spike in the audio file waveform and will be quick to spot during editing. This is useful if you've got a particularly long recording. Speak more slowly to reduce the number of verbal tics, like and all guests. Unless your podcast is a monologue or scripted, at some point you're probably going to feature someone else's voice, either through a back and forth interview or through small monologue features. Here's how to get the best out of them. Start the recording, but don't tell them you're hitting the big red button because that will make them nervous. Ask them how their day's been or what they've been up to put them at ease. Seamlessly start the interview by asking them to introduce themselves. You may or may not want to use this audio in the end, but it's an easy first question and it will help your guests to relax into the interview. Phrase questions as asking them to tell stories and signpost what you want them to use. For example, don't just ask, "So, how did you become a blacksmith?" Phrase it like, "Tell me the story of how you came to become a blacksmith. Feel free to go back to your childhood, family, schooling, and training." If you're asking someone about their work, don't just say, "Tell me about your work." Ask them, "What piece of work are you most proud of?" That will allow them to go into detail about something that puts their work in its best light. Towards the end of the interview, ask them, "So, what's next? Are there any unanswered questions? What are your hopes and dreams?" One more thing about guests. If you do have them on your podcast, you should always ask them to sign a podcast guest release form, or at least undertake a written agreement on what you'll be doing with their audio afterwards. Editing. Audacity is quite intuitive software, but there are lots of online help pages if you get stuck, and there are some great tutorials out there online as well to get you going. My top editing tips. Always edit with each voice in a different track. This will allow you to make edits like cuts, mutes, and control the volumes of each individual person. Don't bother taking out every and "ah." It will take you hours, and the audience won't even notice if you do or if you don't. Increase the playback speed on your editing software so it takes less time to listen through, particularly if you're editing with a light touch. To make your audio sound optimum with any software, you might want to use the following effects. Amplify makes it the right volume. Equalization makes it sound bassier and smoother. Compressor makes the audio consistently loud. Pan each voice different amounts left and right so that it sounds to the listener like they're hearing people standing in different places in the same room. Here are some examples of how that all sounds. This is what it sounds like with no effects on your audio. This is what it sounds like when you apply the amplify effect. This is what it sounds like when you apply an equalizer. And this is what it sounds like when you apply a compressor. Apply all of these effects and you'll end up with some really nice sounding audio. If you've got multiple guests, you might want to pan their voices so that it sounds like they're speaking from different parts of the room. This is what it sounds like to pan a lot left, a little bit left, center, a little bit right, and a lot to the right. This is what it sounds like if you record somewhere with lots and lots of hard surfaces around. And this is what it sounds like if you manage to get rid of all those hard surfaces where you're recording, either by using towels or blankets and by sitting away from hard walls and corners of rooms. It's not always easy to tell which section of your podcast is which on the recording just by looking at the waveform. You can use the labels tool in Audacity, edit, labels, add label at selection, to annotate the tracks. Exporting. Once you're done editing your voices, have added the music, jingles, and listened to it all the way through one last time, you'll need to export your track. I recommend exporting it as an MP3 file using Audacity's presets for a reasonable file size. If you're interested, you want it about 160 kbps. Distribution. Once you've got your file for uploading, you'll need somewhere to put it where people can find it. This is called a host. Some of the most popular podcast hosts are Acast, Buzzsprout, Lizbin, Podbean, and SoundCloud. You can expect to pay for your podcast to be hosted by these services. Prices vary, but they tend to be around £10 to £15 a month. Some of them, like Acast, will automatically put adverts at the beginning, middle, and end of your episodes and pay you money back depending on the number of listeners. Shop around and see which host is best for your needs. Your host will give your podcast its own RSS feed. This looks like a web address, and you need to give it to podcast distributors like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Each time you upload a new episode onto your hosting website, this RSS feed will pick it up and automatically push it onto the distribution platforms, so that if your audience are subscribed on a platform, they'll get a notification about your new podcast episode and download it. Your chosen hosting site will probably help you submit your RSS feed to the major distributors, but if you need to do it manually, you'll want to give your RSS feed to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. When you upload your episode, you'll have to give it a title. It's generally a good idea to make these consistent in style and format. And you can do an episode artwork too, if you like. This episode artwork is separate from the title podcast artwork and could show the episode name and or an image of the guest or content. Marketing. You'll want to advertise your new episode across your social media. A great way to do this is with images of your guests or subject matter, and by creating a snippet video using a site like Headliner. Here's an example of mine.
Nothing can really recreate the glow of neon, because what you're seeing is gas being charged, and it also excites the air around the glass as well. What you're seeing really through clear glass tube is plasma, and that's also what fire falls into. And we all know what we're like when we see fire or flames. We're instantly mesmerized by it, and this is one of the scientific reasons why neon has become so good as an advertising medium and such a great demander of attention.
Growing your audience. It's always best to be as specific and targeted as possible with reaching audiences, but here are some general tips to follow too. Share with family and friends across your personal social media. Post content on your podcast's social media feeds using relevant hashtags. Promote on web forums and social media groups relevant to your audience. Start a mailing list. Pay for targeted ads across social media. Cross-promote with other similar podcasts. You could create a 30-second audio advert you can send to your friends to put on their podcasts and return the favour with theirs. Here's an example of mine. Film your recordings and upload them to YouTube to access new audiences on a different platform. Accessibility. Whilst podcasting is a very accessible medium, you can broaden your accessibility by creating transcripts of your episodes. There are various clever ways to do this for free, or you can pay a small amount for an online service to do it for you, such as Scribee. Put the transcripts on your podcast's website. Part 3. Maintaining. So you've made your first 1, 5, and 10 episodes. What's next? Engage with your audience. Keep engaging with your audience on social media. Put on live events or live streams and sell merchandise. Do whatever you have to do to make your audience feel involved and keep them involved. Data storage and archiving. Audio files are large, and after a while, you'll run out of computer storage space. Get hold of an external hard drive for archiving your audio. You never know when you'll want to cut some from an old episode into a future episode or advert. How not to stop podcasting. Most podcasts, unfortunately, only last a small handful of episodes because it takes a lot of time, effort, and money to keep them going. So, how do you keep your podcast going? Don't be afraid to mix up the format or indeed completely rebrand the podcast into something else. Create fresh artwork, get new music, change up the hosts, add new hosts, even mix up the whole format. Divide the content into series of manageable lengths and give yourself a break in between them. Outsource the editing or marketing to someone else if it's all too time-consuming. Guest on other people's podcasts and invite them onto yours. Some final words of wisdom. Most podcasts take at least 10 episodes to really find their stride, so don't be disheartened if it takes you a while to find your voice. Listener stats aren't everything. A small audience of very engaged and specific listeners is infinitely better than a large and disparate audience who don't engage with you. It's also okay to stop doing the podcast once you've met your aims and or it comes to its natural end. Further resources. Online podcasting communities, such as Helen Zaltzman's Facebook group, Podcasters Support Group, Buzzsprout's How to Make a Podcast Guide, and the Warwick Institute of Engagement. Thanks so much for listening to this How to Make a Podcast Guide with me, Anna Pajaisky. You can check out my other stuff at annapajaisky.com and follow me on social media at Anna Pajaisky. Best of luck.